Today is Tuesday, February 27th, and we're going to be having public testimony today, but did we want Ms. Did you want to have anything from the department before we start with the public testimony? You're okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Well, we'd like to call Annette Silly and Jeff Lowry, please. Please. Okay. Uh-huh. In order that we might be fair to everybody, because everybody, we have about 15 people to testify, and this committee is over at 2:30. So I'd like to ask you to be fair to the other people, and each of you take no more than 5 minutes with your presentation. Thank you. You may begin.
For the record, my name is Annette Silly. That's A-N-N-E-T-T-E-C-I-L-L-E-Y. I am a past consumer of the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation Services, Chair Carter, and members of the committee. I had in the past been in the field of construction as a roofer and a framer. This had become too physically demanding in my late 30s. And ranch work just doesn't pay. They give you horses, but there's not much money in it. Voc Rehab gave me the training needed to better my life. I received my Associate's in Applied Science degree in Water and Environmental Technology last June. At present, I work for the City of Portland's Water Bureau. I have benefits I didn't think I'd ever have. The basis for that. I enjoy my job a lot. I enjoy the people I work for. And I make just under $20 an hour, which I'd never done before. I couldn't be any more grateful for what Voc Rehab has done for me. And I feel that there are many people that can benefit from this program, people who couldn't have done it without you. Thank you very much. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any questions? Can I ask something real quick? I was just wondering if the panelists, if they have a story. I'm just wondering how people get connected to vocational rehabilitation services, because I, you know, how they're referred and or if they find out by word of mouth. So
I did find out by word of mouth. I actually in the past had some back injuries, which is what, at 37 years old I could no longer bend over and frame and build a house anymore. So I had some back injuries, and the first time that I was told, you know, everybody told me, you'd probably qualify for this. And the first time that I met my Voc Rehab counselor, I was sitting there for my intake meeting and couldn't sit still. So she sent me off for a mental evaluation, and I have a couple issues there also. And so they did pick me up and retrain me so that I could work. But it was by word of mouth. And you're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, Jeff. You're going to do good.
Okay. My name's Jeff, and I got my job through Town Steward, the folks we have.
She's a job helper.
To help me find a job, and so, yep, and
who paid for that?
And so she helped me find a job at Home Depot, and so I've been there about five years, and it's going good, and and I've been there about 5 years, so
my name is Evelyn Lowry, and I'm Jeff's mom. Jeff has, because of his job at Home Depot, he's been an independent member of the community. He lives in his own town, and he pays his rent.
Rent.
Okay, go ahead. He said, let me do it.
I pay my rent, I pay for my groceries, and I pay for my rent and my groceries. And so, that's going good. And it's I'm independent. I do everything in Bentley.
I am so proud of you, Jeff.
Yeah.
So, what do you do at Home Depot?
I water plants. I help customers, and it and so yeah.
You doing it?
I'm doing it. I do it very good.
I'm
looking for a new job.
All right. Jeff, I appreciate you coming here so much today to tell us about it. So you're telling us you don't want us to cut the money for a vote rehab, huh?
No.
Exactly. Yeah. Anything else you want to tell us about that?
I needed to tell you this. And Home Depot, when they cut my hours up, and they cut my hours about 2 hours a week, like 8 hours a week.
Okay,
so that's why he's looking for
you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jeff, I wish you well, okay?
All right.
And I appreciate you so much coming here today to tell us about not cutting Volk Rehab.
Yeah.
Okay, any questions from other panelists? Representative Garrod.
I'd just like to echo your comments, Madam Chair. Jeff, some of us take speaking we don't think about the ability to do that and to convey our thoughts. But today, you did a great job in communicating what the message that you had for this committee. Thank you very much for coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Barry Plummy and Chris Cook, please.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, committee members. I'm pleased to be here today as a voice for the tens of thousands of people with disabilities across the state of Oregon. My name is Barry Quammy, and I'm the Executive Director of Independent Living Resources. It's centered in Portland. It's one of the 9 centers for independent living across the state of Oregon. We've been around for 50 years as an organization in Portland this year through predecessor organizations that have served people with different types of disabilities. So we're really happy to have that tradition and share that with you. There are also 9 other centers that I want to tell you a little bit about today and then introduce 3 consumers who have benefited from our services in collaboration with working with Vocational Rehabilitation Services. There are 3 points that I'd like to make for you today, really, and I have written testimony that I won't read, but I will highlight a few points. First is I want you to know that it's important to know that independent living centers get Oregonians off costly state services. There are real significant cost savings associated with independent living services and how they support people to live employed, to live more independently and not dependent on services. the services, promoting and sharing independent living philosophy is particularly important for the disability community. I don't know how much you know about the independent living movement, but let me just tell you a couple of things real briefly so you know what the centers are doing. Due to disability, people often feel or believe that they don't have choices, that they're not equal in society. And coming to an independent living center helps folks to realize they do have choices, empowers them to participate and contribute more fully in society. There are 9 centers around the state of Oregon, and these centers offer 4 core services that are really at the heart of what changes people's lives and provides that foundation. Those services are information and referral. We're across disability organizations, so we network people to a variety of resources in the community so that they can be successful. We also provide one-on-one peer support through the centers, and that's coming into the center and receiving, developing an independent living plan, working one-on-one over an extended period of time. In that setting, we also provide skills training for people who are trying to live more independently, get a job, etc. We collaborate very closely with VR counselors. And finally, the ILE movement is about advocacy, both on the individual level and on the systems level. And those 4 things really are the hallmark of what makes up the ILE movement and ILE centers around the state. We have many success stories that we could share with you, and in a moment I'll introduce 3 people who will be able to speak to their own personal experiences. You know, Sills saves Dave a lot of money, and that's the bottom line. And recently, over the last year, we've the 9 centers have gotten together, and we've done a data collection study, and we've sampled 3% of the consumers that we serve to see how much savings that amounts to. And that study that is, it's summarized in your handout here if you have questions later or as a follow-up. But that study is about 30 pages long, and you'll be receiving an individual copy of this during the next few days. So it also profiles some of our success stories. The bottom line is that those 3% of the population that we served, that we sampled, saved the state $1.9 million. In the last year. So you can extrapolate from that if you want and go into the numbers, but that gets us into the tens of millions of dollars, obviously, through the work that we're doing. And my second point is just to give you a sense of independent living services, that they're relatively inexpensive and they do have wonderful results. Currently, Oregon Sills, the 9 Sills, are funded with a total of $500,000 over the biennium out of the general funds account. Before the budget crisis of 2002, we were allocated $1.3 million. So there's been a reduction over the last few years of $800,000. And we understand that we've had difficult times, but we also know that times are a little bit better now, and there's an opportunity to reach out to underserved people with disabilities around the state in a way that will really leverage success in the stories that you're going to hear today. The 9 Oregon Sills are asking for you to restore that $800,000 that was cut a few years back and take us back to that $1.3 million level that we're at. You can be part of these success stories you'll hear today and really see how a small and shrewd investment will bring about really good returns. So we know that Senator Schrader wants to invest in programs that have big returns on investment, and you're going to really see how that's the case as you look at this report and this matrix that I provided you with. So I think the bottom line is that these are going to be just a few of the many people that we serve, but they're really the proof of the tax savings that you'll see. We face many challenges in our state right now and in our world, and people with disabilities, we all long to pursue opportunities, to enjoy equal access, to experience freedom of choice. And I really ask you to re-empower the centers that are doing such good work around the state to be able to do that more effectively in the next 2 years. So with that said, I'll just say we're happy that you're considering our request, and certainly glad to answer any questions briefly here before introducing a couple more testimonials.
Questions?
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you first to Chris Cook, who is associated with ILR in Portland. And then we'll introduce you to Linda Diaz and Julia Lynch, who are consumers who have benefited from services in the Eugene area. I'm going to step back and let all three be sit at the table.
Now, did you want to is the other little person with you, too?
Oh, my son came for an education, yes, okay. to see how the legislature works.
Oh, I think he should testify, Madam Chair.
My name is Christina Cook, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A-C-O-O-K-E, and I am an ILR, have been an ILR consumer and have enjoyed doing some mentoring. And those are the things I want to share with you today. And to Chair Carter and the committee, I really appreciate this chance to speak with you. I have lived in Oregon all my life, and I really enjoy the communities in which I've lived. I've been a private and classroom music teacher, and then I went back to school for a second career to become a naturopathic physician. And ILR had a part in my educational journey, and also I've been able to mentor with the organization as well. When I moved to Portland in 2002, I really wanted to learn the lay of the land. It's very important to me to be independent, and traveling is just one of those components of independence. You can always find your way with a sighted companion, but I was really interested in having the availability of an orientation and mobility specialist who really knows how to describe traffic patterns, to describe landmarks and routes on which I would travel, and who has the training to work with me and my guide dog. I found such a specialist in Mr. Christopher Eason, who did a fabulous job in orienting me to Portland. Along my journey in medical school, I was also needing the support at times to request the accommodations I needed to finish my clinical training. And I knew that ILR would always be in support of me, helping me to frame those accommodation requests in line with the ADA so that I could do what not too many people have done and become a doctor. The highlight of every medical student's career are board exams. You can imagine that we all look forward to those. And in consideration of the 5 basic science and 12 clinical board exams, which include jurisprudence and formulary, it's quite a daunting task for most everyone. And a visually impaired person really has another task at hand, because when someone reads a test to you, a multiple choice test, you have to hold all the answers in your head and remember which choices you thought were the best, and that really becomes quite rigorous. And so ILR provided the tests in Braille for me so that I could take them in a more relaxed and competitive way to my sighted counterparts. Throughout my time, they've always been encouraging, and just to mention, as someone said before, how did you get in touch with the organization? I met my peer counselor at a national convention for the visually impaired, and that was a great meeting point for us. When I graduated, which was in June of 2006, everyone was really curious about my journey as a naturopathic doctor. And while I'm still awaiting my license, I've been able to talk about how it was to complete that journey and the ingenuity and creativity that I needed to accomplish that goal. So I've been able to give back to ILR through its unique potential of providing mentoring opportunities. In October of this past year, ILR organized various disability mentoring luncheons, and I was a speaker at one of those luncheons. And not everyone wants to become a doctor, but certainly they want to know, how did you do what you felt called to do with the resources that you had? And everybody who has a disability is encouraged by everyone else's journey. I've also spoken with the traumatic brain injury group and with the women support group, and that's been a wonderful experience for me. It's really great to share the skills that you've learned and the ways that you've adapted and coped with challenges, and it's a two-way street, and I really, really enjoy that a lot. I look forward to more opportunities. So in closing, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of ILR and to continue everyone's support of this great organization that really encourages independence and also the mentoring of individuals along our various journeys. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cook. Yes, Marilyn.
My name is Linda Diaz, L-I-N-D-A-D-I-A-Z. I'm a born and bred Oregonian. I was born in Corvallis. Later raised in South America. My father graduated from Corvallis University, OSU, and then started pasteurization plants in South America. One of the things that, as I grew up in partly in South America and partly in Oregon, was seeing how people were treated that in other parts of the world with disabilities. I had no idea that I would be one of those people someday. When I was born, they said I would have a disability, but I fooled them all, and I did quite well. But at the age of 35, I began to lose my hearing. And when I lost my hearing, they said, we have this wonderful surgery for you to give you back your hearing so you don't have to wear hearing aids anymore. And so, of course, I went for it because hearing aids meant that I was old, right? So, the surgery is that they take out your inner ear bones and then they replace them with prosthesis, and I won't go into details about that surgery. However, what happened was when I fell on my head when riding a horse, the surgical prosthesis broke in my ear, traveled into my vestibular system, and stuck there for 2 years. So I had a pin in my ear for 2 years. Leading up to that, no one believed me because I heard so well. And finally I went to OHSU and they gave me a CAT scan, and there it was, pinned 3 centimeters in my ear. They removed it, and I was able to walk again. But I continue to have vertigo. And what vertigo means is that, and I have oscillopsia, it means all of you are kind of moving a little bit right now to me. My vision is challenged. And I forget things. It's kind of like having a brain injury or a stroke. However, being a person who in the past prefers to move mountains than just sit around and watch things move, I started working with vocational rehabilitation in Eugene, Melita Green, and she works with the hard of hearing and the deaf people. She suggested I become a peer mentor, and of course I had no clue what that was, and she began my training. And then I went on to LILA, Lane Independent Living Alliance, and they hired me as one of their first mentors. And I worked specifically with people that are hard of hearing and that have vestibular problems similar to mine. Most people with vestibular problems are not hired. If you go into somewhere and say, I have balance problems or dizziness problems, you become a liability immediately and they're not going to hire you. What Lila did for me was they set it up for me so that I could work there. The fluorescent lights I have covered in my room so that the fluorescent lighting doesn't make me dizzy. I have little clouds up there so the fluorescent lighting is protected. I have a room with a door that shuts so that I don't have to hear background noise when I'm working with people. What I've done with this, with Lila's help, is created a program for the deaf and hard of hearing in Eugene, and it's really growing. And we're having people coming to us from all parts of the area, people that didn't have help before, because we understand what they're going through. We know what it feels like to be deaf or hard of hearing or have vestibular problems and all the other disabilities as well. All of the mentors have a disability. It's not just, I have my own little hard of hearing and deaf project, but then the other mentors deal with the people who are sight impaired and people in wheelchairs, so there's all different kinds of disabilities represented there, and we all get along, which is really a miracle. We have learned to accommodate each other. A few years ago, we were actually on stage. One of our main people is a playwright, B.J. Ashwell, and she taught us all how to be actors. And we all went on to the Holt Center, and we performed. And it was all accommodable for us. It was just an amazing experience. That's the kind of that's the kind of place we are. We're open to new ideas. We're open to making changes. We're open to when people come to us and they're totally lost. I've had people say to me, if I lose my hearing, I want to die. Or I don't want to live because I'm dizzy. And I'll say, and then I'll talk to them about that, you know, and we'll work on that because I've lost my hearing and I'm dizzy and I'm doing a lot of things. And through my mentorship with those people, we get them involved in other things. We get them involved in really amazing jobs and amazing futures that they can have. Sometimes it's not just your average job. Sometimes it's a job that they have to develop that's their gift. They find there's always a gift to disability. I have one girl, for example, a beautiful young girl. She's 22. She just got a cochlear implant. She's just learning to re-talk again. The doctors gave her too much medication, so she had seizures, and now she has difficulty with her hands as well. She's a brilliant writer, and she's a brilliant student. She won Outstanding Student in the Springfield High School Award and a scholarship for poetry writing. And she's come to me. I've worked with her over the years. Pro bono, because I have so much hope for this woman, and she's come back now, and she's going to start writing for our Lila website. She's going to start being our Lila reporter, I call her. And that's what we do with people. We take people that are, sometimes they're told they can't do anything, you know. You don't qualify for anything. And I had one woman who doesn't know how to type, didn't know how to type, so I taught her how to type. Not only did she go way beyond my ability in typing, she's now a photographer. And she does beautiful digital photography, which we have all over our walls in our office. And she's gifted, you know. And all these people that have these gifts that nobody has sat down with them and they haven't sat down with themselves, and we're able to help them carry on with their lives and to have a purpose and to have a reason. And that's what we're there for, to help people with their lives. And we do this on a shoestring. And a lot of our work sometimes is done for free, literally, because there isn't money. And all of us contribute, not only our energy, our spirit, our whatever. We also contribute monetarily just to help people, deaf people that can't afford an alarm clock, for instance, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that we do, and I just want to thank you all for listening to this, because we really need help to continue. We're doing good work, and we're doing it, and we're going to continue to do it always. And we have grown so much as an independent living center. It's just an amazing place.
Well, thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Julia Lentz, J-U-L-I-A-L-Y-N-T-H. I'm here to talk about my personal experience regarding being individual. Actually, Lila. I don't know what I could have done without them. I started out, living in Illinois. I started just starting out with little jobs at a daycare center. But I moved to Oregon, and I have volunteered at Lila for about 3 or 4 years. And then I had an opportunity with a job. Lila helped me get that job. I worked at LIPA. That's an insurance company. And I enjoyed it very much. I have cerebral palsy. It has not been easy without Lila's help. They helped me gain confidence. They helped me gain independence for myself. I went through job coaching program along with Bijo. He's helped me gain, you know, independence for job interviews, you know, just helping me learn the skills that I needed to get a job. I couldn't have done it without them. They have supported me all the way. Just one thing I really like about Lila is they understand my disability. They understand that it's very difficult to try to go out there and do it on your own. And all I ask is that you will continue funding for the LIFR and I get confused between LIFR and
LIFR.
But I have worked at volunteered at LILA for about 3 years, and then I started working at LIFR. So I enjoyed it very much, and that's about all I can say right now.
We appreciate you being here today, and I want to thank each of you for your testimony today. Questions of the committee?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a comment. I'm very glad, Julia, that you clarified LIPA and LILA, because Senator Bates is always confused. It helps set him straight.
I'll try to remember that now. Thank you, Senator. I'll work on that.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Kevin McKelly and Tim Paul.
Carter, member of the committee. For the record, I am Kevin Michael McCauley, KevinMichaelIe. Thank you for letting me address you today. I just wanted to say that I want to thank you for funding Voc Rehab in the past, because if you hadn't with me here today, I was a lawyer at one time, and I had a massive stroke. I almost died. At one point, I was in bed as kind of like a vegetable. With fierceness changing my diapers, can you believe that? Now look at me today, I'm a fellow student at Concordia University studying education. It wouldn't be for you folks who wouldn't have been there, I wouldn't be here right now doing that. So it gave me a whole new life, a whole new hope, opportunity out there. My goal is to take advantage of these opportunities and become a productive member of society again, so I can take care of my family and be a good member of my society, my community, be productive, set a good example for kids and other people, not to quit, not to give up no matter what. Right. Keep fighting, though, they say the old adage. Or money's never quit, right?
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's true. I know I get it. So thank you. Anyway, I want to implore you to please fund Voc Rehab. If it hadn't been for Voc Rehab, I wouldn't be here right now doing what I'm doing. And I had a brother younger than I am, a little bit younger. He was disabled, too. And unfortunately, he gave up and committed suicide. He had me 2001, it broke my heart, but if he had something like I had to be here today, being a productive member of society, I'm sure he would have. But he didn't have the hope I have that he can make another life for himself. Yeah. It's been a tough road, but it's been a great road. It's been a humbling road. And I thank God every day that I'm here. It's better to be here than not to be here, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I thank God for you people. I pray that you make the right decision. You continue to vote. You continue to find Voc Rehab. Please, for not my sake, but look at all these people in here. They need your help. Their lives are productive. There's thousands more just like that. These people are created by God, and they have purpose out there. They can contribute to society and do a great job. They're not just some person with a hat in hand looking for a handout. You know what I mean? They want to do something with their lives. That's why they're here asking me to help them do that. So that's all I have to say. And thank you very much for hearing me out today.
Kevin, appreciate your being here and your testimony on behalf of a citizenship that really are trying to do a good job in our society, and that's great.
Well, thank you, Chair Carter. It's good to be here.
You bet.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Carter. My name is Tim Crawl. I'm Executive Director of the Oregon Rehabilitation Association. We're a nonprofit trade association that represents nonprofits who provide jobs and homes across the state to people with disabilities. Today I'm speaking for the Developmental Disabilities Coalition, which is comprised of providers, self-advocates, advocates. You can see the list of organizations that participate in this. We strongly encourage you to fully match Oak Rehab's budget. It brings down the highest match of any that we know of anyway in human services, almost $4 to one. And you've heard the moving stories, and you'll hear some more about what great services those provide. There's another reason that we're asking for a fully matched budget. The implementation of the Staley Settlement over the last 4 years has added 5,000 people. You just met Jeff a little while ago. He's one of the people that benefited from the Staley Settlement. They receive ongoing support from that settlement to a maximum of about $800 a month. But Voc Rehab can make the difference between helping those individuals get into employment positions. They can add that extra support necessary for the short-term supports, and then the long-term money through the Staley Settlement can maintain them on those positions. So that's one giant example within the developmental disabilities community of why we believe a fully matched budget is beneficial for our state. And I'll leave the rest of the time for the people after me. Thank you.
Thank you much. Questions? Thank you. Tommy Lindsay and Lucy Baker.
For the record, my name is Lucy Baker, and I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Business Leadership Network. We're a business association, business-led, whose members believe that inclusion of people with disabilities is an imperative for business competitiveness in Oregon. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify here today. I'm here for our Board of Directors, which is our association is just 2 years old, but currently we have 35 business members, an 8-member board of directors, and are looking forward to starting a new chapter here in Salem, actually, the leadership of which will be small business. Currently we represent about 8% of the Oregon workforce. On our board of directors, excuse me, the consortium itself represents about 15%. Our board of directors consists of OHSU, Fred Meyer Stores, PGE, Precision Cast Parts, PSU, Amber Gee and Rubin. Until recently, Intel was also a member of the board and is now transitioning a new member onto our board. We're here to talk today about the Voc Rehab budget and how important it is to businesses like us. We need the Oregon Office of VR to be a strong partner with us. They help us with things that we couldn't find on our own. All manner of effective accommodations, on-site assessments, coaching, retraining, information on tax credits, and all manner of tools and skills that we as businesses use every day to retain and hire workers with disabilities. And we depend on the legislature and the governor's office to give us the kind of state budget that supports those efforts of ours. Around this issue, that means as close to full funding for Oregon Voc Rehab as we can get. We've already heard they pull down four federal dollars for every one local dollar that we pay in, and it's a great investment. Let me share just a little bit about why Oregon business feels the way it does, both about its workers with disabilities and voc rehab. I've provided today, clipped on to our testimony, a copy of the Oregon business case for inclusion of people with disabilities in the competitive workplace. You can Google all you want, but this is the only national resource that was written by business for business and has been recently printed for us by business. Intel printed this for us. It was put together by a group of VPs and CEOs that our board of directors asked to come together, and they outline why it is that for all the different reasons of being able to hire and attract and then keep great talent is important to it. And as over the next 15 years, as boomers leave the marketplace and Oregon business is faced with the loss of skills that the boomers represent, we need to be able to tap historically underutilized talent just to keep competitive. Because of that, our board of directors and led by Eileen Drake, our business champion from Precision Cast Parts, a vice president there, whom I'm sure many of you know through her work with Manufacturing 21, led the charge to make certain that inclusion of people with disabilities become the newest addition in the Oregon business plan, and it is this year. We're in there with Oregon Work Drug Free. But what that means is the reason that business is facing up to its own challenges. We have to overcome a great deal of misperceptions about the abilities of people with disabilities and be able to accommodate them. So consequently, we do our part in working with VR. We have started an internship and summer hire center to tap the emerging talents of students with disabilities, hook them up with business. We're working with school systems and the youth transition program. We're starting a small business center and expanding our work. So to help us do what we need to do, we need VR to be a strong partner everywhere in this state. Oregon has a great number of professions that are hard on the body, including manufacturing, construction, ranching, fishing, forestry, and all of those create people with disabilities through hard use. Oregonians work hard, Oregonians work hard, and we need to be able to bring them and their talents back on. I'll stop now. There's a lot of talent in this room and other viewpoints to be heard, but as we go through our year ahead into our third year of business-led efforts around disability inclusion, I hope that the members of this committee and your colleagues will be interested in us and follow our progress, too. So let's get VR the funding that it needs, and business is shouldering its responsibilities too. I think it's a great partnership.
Thank you very much. Questions?
Thank you, sir.
Chair Carter and committee, I'm Tony Lindsay, for the record, T-O-N-Y-L-I-N-D-S-E-Y. I just have to say that I had 7 back surgeries. I was injured on the job, and I thought that I was pretty much finished, and I was introduced to vocational rehab through Senior and Disabled Services. And for your question, I want you to know that vocational rehab just doesn't hand you the money, they make you work for it. It's not an easy process to go through. They actually wanted me to find a school to go to, and they made me bring it back to them. And they checked it out, and so you don't. They don't just do everything for you. They want to make sure that you're going to use what you learn in the process that you go through. They teach you as you go through the process that to use it. And I've been working for $15.25 an hour as a lab assistant phlebotomist at one of the major medical facilities in Deschutes County. And while I was there, I've had several other offers to go to other medical facilities, and it's changed my life. I've been able to raise my son that I wouldn't have been able to on Social Security. And the opportunities are endless from vocational rehab, and I just want to represent them in any way I can. And I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Questions? Thank you again, both of you, for being here. Eric Mosley and Bill Kemp, please.
Good afternoon, Senator Carter, members of the committee. My name is Eric Goolsby, G-O-O-L-S-B-Y. I came here because I was asked to speak on my experience with Voc Rehab. I've had nothing but the most positive experience with them. I have a wonderful counselor, her supervisors, all the aides that go in with rehab. When I came in, I had a lot of problems. I have, for many, many years, I've turned into a much better person, more rounded personality. I have a wonderful job. I'd like to thank my rehab counselors. They've done a marvelous job. They've helped me with funding. Again, like the last gentleman has said, they make you work at it. And they will help you make realistic goals. It's been very much a blessing. I've worked with other state rehabs, other agencies, and none of them have compared to the high quality care, emotion support, supportive services. They use other agencies to assist. When I came in, I had no idea what services were available for this state. And my counselor, Shiloh Hester, and her supervisors, Amy Kincaid, they've all been a wonderful support. I've come around to a better person. I have a wonderful job that I enjoy. I work at the Sutherland Veterinary Hospital. I've been doing nothing but training on top. I'm started out as a janitor. I am now a vet tech. I help with surgeries and take care of animals. I'm there 24/7. Basically, they keep asking me, when am I going to ever go home, or do I live there? And you can see, I have a wonderful personality. I mostly have to thank my counselors that I've had here. They've been nothing but a blessing. It really has. And I hope that we can continue to keep the folk we have on their toes, keep the support that they need to be able to help consumers. I'd like to see them to change from short-term agency to a long-term, to where they can give you a little bit extra support. I've nothing but high praise for them. I have been at my job just for less than a month. I already had my evaluation. They gave me nothing but high marks with the veterinary clinic. And I gave that report to my counselor. She shared that with other counselors and her supervisors. And
you sound like a great worker, Eric.
I'm sorry, ma'am?
You sound like a worker I'd like to have.
I've been nothing but happy. I've got a wonderful personality. And you can probably see I'm just a happy person because of people like Vocation Rehab in this state, this wonderful state of Oregon.
Good.
And I thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to see us.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Any questions of Eric? Isn't that great?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Have a great day.
Great, thank you.
Good afternoon. I am Bo Kemp, a ventilator, dependent quadriplegic, and a member of the board of directors for the Oregon Business Leadership Network, and a 22-year employee with Precision Cast Parts. I'm here today to testify in support for full funding of the vocational rehabilitation budget. 10 years ago, I had a bicycle accident which changed my life, not only my life, but raised the serious question of what am I going to do and what am I going to have. My main concern was, how am I at 45 years old going to support a family, continue working as a productive employee And in my mind, those options at that time laying in the hospital were very few. Throughout this time, Precision Cast Parts insisted that they were not going to let a 10-year employee go by the wayside. They backed me up again and again. And through the entire rehabilitation process, emphasized that they would bring me back somehow. After 5 months in hospitals and rehabilitation, my options of becoming a productive employee, and I emphasize a productive employee, I don't want to be a representative, or very few. I was then told to contact the Milwaukee Vocational Rehabilitation Center, request an evaluation on what, if anything, they could do for me. I was rather reluctant to ask for the assistance, but I had no other options. After consulting with the Milwaukee Vocational Rehab, my case manager started working with Precision Cast Parts and developed a position to where I could become what's called an information technician. That was a great start, and one that would be very productive. But how do we do that? The Milwaukee Vocational Rehab Office had never been faced with such a challenge. My case manager was actually excited about the opportunity and the challenge to work with Precision and getting the skills and equipment necessary for me to return. To do that, they contracted with an outside consultant who again worked with Precision and Bulk Rehab. Bulk Rehab bought the necessary computer equipment, voice activation system, and paid for the consultant to tutor me for 2 months while I worked on my own to increase my proficiency with voice-activated computer. They paid for the computer, the tutoring, and the knowledge so that I could return. You will hopefully, all of you, hopefully will never have to understand how it is to go to work, to be competent enough to go to work every day without the use of arms and legs, and still have managers, engineers, and technicians sincerely request your help in gathering the necessary data, analyzing, and making presentations. But they either do not have the time or they do not have the knowledge. I cannot thank my vocational rehab case manager, his enthusiasm, the research, and the supplies that he gave me so that I could return to a productive job. Vocational rehab needs these funds to ensure others with disabilities can return to being productive and competent employees as well as happy citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here with us today. Are there questions?
Thank you. This is an amazing story. That's all I can say. It's an amazing story. Congratulations to you and to your caseworker. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. I don't know how you did it, but it's just amazing.
He took he really accepted it as a challenge. He really did.
I think you did too.
He kept me going. And Precision also. It was the three put together, but Volk Rehab bought the equipment and put it in the house so that I could start learning the, you know, like I said, the voice command computer system, the page of the computer, the tutoring, and everything else.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is there someone else here that wants to testify that was not on signed up on our sheets?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is actually probably a question for Ms. Baker, but or Mr. Kemp. Do you think your situation at Precision Cast Parts, were you the first employee that they helped in this situation, or do you feel like that's how businesses get involved? They have an ideal employee who experiences a situation where they want to bring them back to work. You've had great success. Are they doing that for other employees as well now that were you the first?
I was the first, which you would probably call catastrophic. It was new to them. And it was new to Volk Rehab at the time. Precision Cast Parts, we had two other employees in wheelchairs, paraplegics. They've gone every way that I've ever asked. They accommodate not just myself, but others with disabilities. And again, it's working with Vocational Rehab. I know our human resources department very well, and they do depend on Voc Rehab for a lot of the
Thank you, and kudos to them, and thank you for your testimony. I don't know if you wanted to add anything from the network perspective, if there are other businesses that...
Well, I think you're right. I think that business gets into it because they employ human beings, and about 20% of you know, any pool of workers, and especially Eileen Drake, their VP, likes to make the point that in Oregon's manufacturing arena, that is about 13% of our economic base here in Oregon. They have a lot of aging workers too. They're very skilled, but they're getting older. And the leading cause of workplace disability that can take people out of the workplace is arthritis, back trouble, and complications of heart disease. A lot of people don't think of that part. But Eileen was brought on to Precision Cast Parts in part to help them realign their talent management to be more cost effective. And she helped them realign rather forcibly their workers' comp to bring people back instead of letting them languish at home, and make certain that they had accommodation, because accommodation isn't very expensive. Mm-hmm. Just need to have a good partner in Volk Rehab and others to make it happen. So, yeah, I think that if business comes by it naturally, and to become more confident around accommodation and inclusion is very, very helpful for everybody.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Ms. Baker. Further question? Is there someone else that I didn't finish that piece? Someone else I could testify? If not, I want to thank the committee very much for being here very patient, very tentatively, and I shall see you tomorrow at 1:00 p.m.
Thank you.